LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
These past couple of weeks, if you've been tuning in the late news on TV to get your Olympic update, you've also been watching the reports, the sometimes horrifying visuals from the Louisiana floods and the California wildfires. Seems like there's just about always something going on like this, but these events have really claimed a lot of attention here lately. We're going to be talking about them in the next few minutes here on Issues, Etc. with Pastor Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. I am Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Todd's a little out of pocket today, but I'm glad to be here filling in. Ross Johnson, welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's been a while since you and I have had a chance to sit and talk, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Thanks for welcoming me back to the program.
So tell us a bit about this event, particularly in Louisiana. I'm from there myself. I know the whole place is kind of concave, especially the further south you get. The joke is always that, apocalyptic living is nothing new for living in southern Louisiana. The whole place could sink any minute. They say it's a 1,000-year event or once-in-a-1,000-year flood occasioned by these rains, with no hurricane even to blame for it. What's your take?
Absolutely. It's a very rare and unique storm. The amount of rain that they got so quickly caught everybody off guard. So even the people that live in that area that are used to, as you say, living in almost apocalyptic kind of scenarios, they were caught off guard. And the flooding was so bad, it happened in places that it wasn't supposed to flood. And that's what really makes it difficult, because as a homeowner or someone that has a mortgage, if you're in a flood zone or identified flood zone, you have to have a flood rider or flood insurance. But most people that aren't in a flood zone, why would you buy an insurance for something that's so unlikely that the mortgage company doesn't even think that you should have? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cases that's happening there in Louisiana. A lot of places flooded that weren't in a flood zone that they thought they were completely safe, and other hurricanes and tornadoes and other kind of situations like that, they got through it scot-free. So they were uninsured because it wasn't prudent to insure. They thought it would be like throwing good money after bad. Well, in such a rare circumstance like this, it would have been beneficial. But one thing, most flood insurances do not cover contents. They only cover the structure itself. And in a flood, if you've ever been there to muck out a house, it is just so devastating to personal property. And to lose all of your personal goods in your house is just so overwhelming and demoralizing. And it's hot in Louisiana, as you know, and the mold grows so fast, and you have to get all of your personal property. And it's just such a waste to see such, all of your furniture, all of your personal possessions taken out to the street and dumped there. It's an emotionally overwhelming sight for the people that are in it, and it's overwhelming for the people that are helping out. And it's really going to settle in when the adrenaline kind of dies down over the next few weeks, and you kind of look around your house and all of your earthly goods are gone.
Well, especially when you think, as you said, that you're really not prone to that kind of thing. When I was a kid growing up in the New Orleans area, Baton Rouge and its environs was exactly the place where people would go if they didn't want to hang around during the hurricane, because that was, in relative terms anyway, the high ground, the dry ground. Right. And this is exactly where all these rains came.
Exactly.
So what do you do? What does LCMS Disaster Response do? How do you go about responding in a case like this?
Well, the blessing of being part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is we have about 6,000 LCMS congregations scattered across the United States. So whenever there's a disaster, normally there's a Lutheran congregation nearby, and we use that congregation or the congregations that are in that disaster area to be a hub or an outreach of mercy. So we've identified Lutheran congregations that are in the area. along with the district president, to be a hub of ministry and mercy work that's in the area. So one of the things that I did, I went down there and I met with one of the pastors of one of the local churches, Pastor Buss, from Trinity Lutheran Church in Baton Rouge, and was starting to set up a temporary disaster camp, starting to set up a system of giving out grants. We did an assessment, and then we came up with an action plan. Once an assessment is made and an action plan is developed, now all there is to do is to implement our action plan. So they're already having 30 to 40 people a day come in. I mean, we're within a week of this event, and do muck out teams. That's going and tearing out flooring, tearing out carpet, tearing out drywall, getting all the rot out so that the mold doesn't fester. That's really the first phase of this. We're getting ready to send them in the next day or next couple of hours an $85,000 initial grant. And that's to start putting funds in place. Unfortunately, these disasters are so costly to the families that are affected by that. And we're trying to help out with three different areas. The first one is praying. And on our website, lcms.org/disaster, we have prayers that pastors can be praying or individuals that can be praying, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. We're also asking for donations because there is so many costs involved in disaster response. And then lastly, hands-on volunteers. We're getting those volunteers, and now we're coordinating them, we're housing them, we're feeding them. And we're just getting the ball rolling. They're saying that 20% of Baton Rouge area is underwater or was flooded. But in the greater Baton Rouge community, it's about 300,000 people. So we're talking a number of about 440,000 people were affected, more or less. We're talking tons and tons of homes, people that need help, and it's urgent.
Now, you're talking about volunteers. I take it some of these are from the local churches, but some of them you are bringing in from elsewhere. Is that right?
Yeah. In a catastrophic event like this, it's more than just Christians or Lutherans from the Baton Rouge area can handle. So we're asking for volunteers from neighboring states that are willing to come in and volunteer their time and labor, that are healthy, to be able to do some of this heavy lifting, so to speak, to come in and help out with this disaster response.
Now, let's not give short shrift to the wildfires out in California. Tell us about what's going on out there.
Yeah, so immediately after I left Baton Rouge last week, I jumped on a flight and I went out to Ontario Airport in Southern California, and I drove up to the high desert of California. And we have a couple of Lutheran churches that are in the vicinity where they are doing temporary housing through the Red Cross. It's affected more than a half a dozen LCMS families themselves that are being temporarily displaced from their homes. 82,000 people have been asked to leave their homes. Not all of those people have left, but the government's asked 82,000 people to leave. Last I heard, the fires are about 15% contained. The firefighters there are absolutely amazing at being able to save homes and structures, but not all of them, unfortunately. But just the stress that the people in California are under, having to leave your house, trying to find temporary housing. The hotels are full. A lot of times, if you don't have family in the area, it's very difficult to find a place to stay as you're leaving your house. And then there's the fears and rumors that as you leave your house, and is everything that I own gone? And then all the extra costs for people that leave their house, whether it's getting hotels or apartments, a lot of times that's economically overwhelming to those people as well.
To what degree in both of these situations are you sending in personnel to act as chaplains?
Well, one of the things that we do, utilizing local churches, we have pastors and elders in place. So spiritual care is definitely part of this, and that's what makes a church response different than what FEMA and the Red Cross and other organizations do. FEMA and the Red Cross and Salvation Army, they're all helpful organizations, and thank God they're in place doing a great service. But what they're doing is not spiritual care. The church can do both. The church can help out with earthly needs, but also spiritual care and praying for people as they're overwhelmed by the brokenness of this world, as they watch all of the treasures of this life go up in flames or down the river, so to speak, the church can be there to pray with them and to give an eternal spiritual perspective.
Do people articulate questions? I suppose in some cases they're still sort of shocked into being numb. But if people can speak, if they can say, Ross, what? Well, you fill in the blank. What are the words that come out of their mouth at that point?
Well, I'm also an Army chaplain, and what kind of strikes me is you get almost a battlefield sense of humor, where in the middle of the thing is it's so overwhelming that most people just kind of have a sense of humor or optimism about it. Mm-hmm. But what happens is days or weeks later, that's when it all settles in. And that's when, you know, when the Red Cross rolls out and FEMA leaves in a couple of weeks and the news cameras go, then you're kind of left by yourself with nothing but bills, your broken home, and wondering what's next. Economic loss is severe in these cases. And that's when I think things kind of start crashing down, when all that adrenaline rush goes away.
Those people are going to go, like the Red Cross and so forth, but the church is going to be there. Give me about 30 seconds on that.
Amen. That's exactly right. Where all the other organizations, they leave, the church remains, the church stays. And it was there before the disaster, it will be there after the disaster. And we know the greatest disaster that anybody will face is not a flood, it's not wildfires. Although that is traumatic, the greatest disaster anybody will go through is to die outside of the one true Christian faith. And so we as the church proclaim the gospel even in the wake of disaster.
Pastor Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response, you can support the victims of the Louisiana floods and the California wildfires by earmarking a tax-deductible gift to LCMS Disaster Response. You can call them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438. That's 888-930-4438. Or go online to lcms.org/disaster. On the other side of this break, we'll have Christopher Boyd Brown talking with us about Luther and Augustine here on Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.